I call to order this regularly scheduled meeting in the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Anikus?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Ms. Reinshell?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Eiswear and I are also here.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't believe we had student recognition tonight. Is that correct?
Well, we do. The student is not able to be here, but if you don't mind, I would like to still read what we have. Forgive me, Mr. President, the microphone is not on. Our student of the month is not able to be here this evening, but if it's okay with everybody, I would still like to honor her and read what will go into the newspaper later this week. What will be said at the Rotary Luncheon and hopefully go into the newspaper later this week for the weekend edition. The London Rotary Club is pleased to honor senior student Addison McPherson as a student of the month for Madison Plains High School for the month of April. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Addison has a 3.95 grade point average, ranking her fourth in her class. Her favorite course is Intro to Performing Arts. Addison has been a member of the varsity girls soccer team for 3 years, and she has served as a captain. She has also participated in varsity track and field throughout all 4 years of high school and has also been a captain for that team as well. Addison has also been involved in student council. Addison was asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires her, and she said MPHS art teacher Mrs. Katie Mann's dressback is the person who inspired her. Addison stated, "Mrs. Mann's dressback is an inspiration to me because she has shown me how to be successful in the real world and how to be a light to people around me." Regarding Addison, Mrs. Mann's dressback said, "I have found Addison to be a wonderful role model for other students. Her creativity, big heart, and personality shine through in everything she does. I feel very blessed to have gotten to know this wonderful senior, and I'm excited to watch all her future accomplishments." After graduation, Addison plans on attending nursing school. She is the daughter of Todd and Kristen McPherson. And so we look forward to honoring Addison later this week at the London Rotary Club Luncheon. She will be honored there, and like I said, there will be an article about her in the newspaper, hopefully later this week. And we're very proud of Addison. So that's all I have for student achievement this evening.
Thank you. Now we'll move to employee recognition.
And Mr. Mason, we do not have any employee recognition this evening.
So we'll go to board work session. I just first like to say I was able to attend the Jeff Spradlin dodgeball tournament, and that was, like always, a great event, but the turnout was amazing, the energy was great, and Mr. Miller, I really appreciate all you did with that. It is a great Madison Plains event. What was the turnout? How many kids participated?
We had 19 teams.
Wow. That's seven kids
wow.
a team,
seven
roughly.
Kids a team.
Yeah. Wow. So it was cool. I appreciate all you guys did with that.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. President, I do have something I'd like to read. After careful reflection and discussion with my family, I have made the decision to step down from my seat on the Madison Plains Board of Education. It's been my honor to serve this board over the last 8+ years. Being on the school board can be exhausting, sometimes frustrating. It means late nights and tough decisions, but it really was one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done. I love the idea that by working together, we can share in the knowledge and satisfaction that we're providing in educational needs for the children in our district. We're building a district where students, parents, teachers, and staff feel they're welcome and that they belong. I'd like to say it's been a pleasure working with all my current board members and administration, as long as the past board members that I've worked with over the years. I believe that the current board and administration truly care about the community's values, wishes, and beliefs. And I'd really like to say thank you to all of the MP community for the opportunity to serve the district. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Sure.
And we, I knew this was coming, so I'm going to try to keep this short so I don't get emotional myself. And I mentioned to Tula, see if she wanted to talk, and she said she doesn't like crying in public, so Tula's not going to say anything.
Yet, so.
But
you did good.
Kelly, you have been the heart and soul of this board since I've been here. You are a leader, and you're going to be sorely missed. Everybody out there may not know Kelly graduated from London, which it's funny to say this, but she represents everything Madison Plains is all about, you know, integrity, hard work, care about the kids, care about the taxpayers, our staff, everybody. And we appreciate that. We're going to miss you. We got a gift for you.
Oh gosh, thank you. And thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I always like to point out that came from the board member's personal money and not school funds.
Thank you. Thank you. And I really did mean that. I really do enjoy working with the current board members and administration. I think you've got a great team here, and you know, put somebody else in this seat, and they'll do a great job too. So I'm confident that the district is going in the right direction, and I really feel that really we do care about everything I talked about. And that was with careful consideration, certainly, of all the children and students. That's always been my focus at MP. And so I leave it in good hands with you at the helm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So just business-wise related to that, is your resignation effective at the end of this meeting?
Yes.
Okay. We have 30 days to fill the position, so kind of just work-related stuff. 30 days to fill it. We'll post online, Todd, the process, you know, some type of application submission, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll be able to post the application link online, and then I would just recommend anybody that has any questions, just contact the central office. Phone number, reach out to me via email, tmustine@mplsd.org, and we can get you the right information. So.
Okay. Anything else from a board work session? All right.
Very good.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to leave without saying something. So,
you're going to get emotional?
I'm going to try not.
Okay.
Kelly was one of the original board members that brought me on board. Mrs. Cooley was one of the original board members that brought me on board in 2014. I've been here since October 2014, and she's been here, I just heard, since January of 2014. So we've been on this journey for a long time together, and you know, she took a chance on me with the board originally, and it's been a pleasure to serve her in that capacity. And she's trusted me with the district, supported me, and I appreciate her leadership and guidance, and she'll be sorely missed.
Thank you. The feeling is mutual, and I really do believe that the team is in place really to take this district in the right direction and keep getting better and better and better every day. So I'm really, really excited, and I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't feel confident in what's here today, right? So it's hard for me to say I have to go, so I can't talk about that anymore, or I will cry, but thank you for the kind words and always being supportive, and I will. I'm always the phone call away, but
yeah.
And more than, right, call me my number, so, but I am looking forward to, you'll find someone that's be a good fit for the team. Thank you.
And I guess I would just echo Mr. Mustine's comments as well. Thank you very much for your service. It's been a pleasure to serve with you, and we wish you and your family all the best.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I really do.
All right. So now we'll go to public communication. Thank you. Everybody signed up. All right. So now we'll go to approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of the March 15th, 2022 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now we'll move to department reports.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have a couple of different department reports this evening, and so for the first one, I am going to ask Ms. Karen Grigsby to come forward. She is, as I think everybody knows, she is our Director of Curriculum Instruction and Assessment, and she is going to be presenting to us on some work that the district leadership team has been doing for our One Needs Plan. And so I will let Karen take it from here.
Thank you. The improvement plan process has been updated. The State Department has put in a new systematic planning tool called EdSteps, and it gives districts the ability to align our goals, our funding, and our resources all in one place for the improvement and the betterment of our student outcomes. So that process included going through a lengthy One Needs assessment. The assessment pulled together data from all the various systems and reports from the state, and then we as a district leadership team went through and answered a very long list of required and sometimes recommended questions to help us to prioritize what our needs are so that we could create a plan. The process started at the district leadership team level, then it went down to the building level, then it went back up to the district leadership level, and then we're going back down to the buildings again. So what we have been able to do, and this has all occurred in about the last 2 months, we had a very strict timeline that we were given from the state, as do all districts throughout the state who are starting this system this year. So in that plan, what we were able to do was our buildings shared what their needs were, what their priorities were at the district level. Then we as a district leadership team, and our leadership team encompasses all of our administrators, but also representatives from every teaching department in our school district. So every grade level team has a representative, and every department at the high 7-12 level has a representative on that team as well. And Mrs. Zanikas also participates in that process. So we were able to hear what they had to say and then collaboratively write a improvement plan. This improvement plan, unlike our past improvement plans, which have to be updated every year, is now a 3-year plan. So the goals that we set are starting for this next school year and going through to June of 2025. We are still in the process of finalizing our building level plans. We actually pretty much finalized tonight the K-6 plan. Just after school, we met with representatives from that building. And then tomorrow we're meeting with the 7-12 building to help them finalize their plan. We centered the district's goals around 4 main goals, all of them looking for areas of improvement. So the first area is in the area of instruction, with our goal being to increase our state report card performance index score by 6% by June of 2025. That would be a 2% increase each year. The results that we get back this summer will be our baseline data for that. And that it does affect the achievement portion of our state report card performance index score does. The second goal is that we'd like to see a 10% decrease in the number of interventions that we're having to do for discipline and attendance. Since the pandemic, attendance has been quite poor. Not just, from students being quarantined, but now there has been an apathy about coming to school that we have seen amongst our students because they're so used to not coming to school for a year and a half. They weren't having to come every single day. And so we are working towards improving those attendance outcomes, as well as there's been a little bit of increase in discipline matters over the past school year as students have come back in. The masks are gone, they haven't been in tight quarters with other people, quite as much. And so we saw an increase in some behavioral issues as well. So we'd like to see a 10% decrease in the number of interventions that we're having to provide as a result. We also would like to see a 6% increase in our state report card early literacy component. If you remember back, we were doing really well in the early literacy component of our report card as we implemented a number of interventions with our reading specialists and such. With the pandemic, that started to taper off because of how much early learning kids were missing. So we want to get back to that and increase that again. And then also a goal centered around mathematics and making sure that we are closing gaps with all students in the area of mathematics, particularly students at the high school level as well, influences that. So those are our four main goals. And then we have a number of strategies that we're going to be using throughout the next 3 years. There are some up there that I put up there because they are commonalities. You'll see MTSS, which means multi-tier systems of support. We are looking to expand and really define what those tiers of support are that we provide to students. Yes, in reading and math academically, but also for behavioral issues, for social emotional issues, mental health issues. And so there, you're going to hear a lot of talk about that in the next 3 years, about how we are defining that framework and all of the services that we are finding that our students need. We see a much bigger increase in the need to provide more, to provide mental health services that we haven't currently been providing, to provide more social emotional supports to students, as we are finding definitely an increase in those needs since the pandemic as well. So MTSS is something that kind of encompasses the whole child and all of their needs, their health and well-being as well. We're continuing our work with curriculum assessment. We're pretty good as far as alignment of those things go. We'll continue to refine those. We're continuing our work with the TBTs and the five-step process. One thing that isn't on the slide that I should mention is we are going to be starting the process of developing a multi-year technology plan as part of our strategies towards this, making sure that our technology is up to date, that we have the resources, both technical, physical resources, and human resources that we need to have a productive educational environment for our students. So that's a big component of it as well. One thing that we do know that we need to do is be doing some research and expanding our efforts in recruiting and mentoring teachers, specifically in the areas of math and science at the high school. Those are very difficult to staff positions. We need to find better ways to find staff members for those positions. The especially our science department is very much overtaxed with what we've given them. If you don't realize this, we have four science teachers for all of grades 7 through 12, and that's becoming more and more problematic. But there's also a lack of teachers out there as well. So we need to be looking for creative solutions for staffing, especially in the areas of math and science. One statistic, if you're not familiar with it, is, you know, in the early 1970s, schools, colleges, and universities were producing about 200,000 teaching candidates a year. In the years of 2018 and 2019, just before the pandemic started, they were only producing 90,000 teachers a year. So this is a nationwide problem, and being set in a rural district where people have to drive a long way to get here, there's not housing accommodations and such, we are experiencing that teacher shortage. It's been very difficult for our school district. So that's something that we need to focus our effort on. And then as well, the state has new requirements in regards to dyslexia training and screening of elementary students. And all of our teachers at this side of campus are gonna have to be trained to recognize dyslexia tendencies and how to intervene with students who have those. Those are new requirements that we're beginning to start that next year. So with all of that said, and all of the data that our teachers have to work with, and just all the additional issues that they are, problems they're trying to solve that are not academic, but are emotional and behavioral issues of students, our teachers are desperate for time. And so we're going to have to come up with ways to provide more time for them to be able to do their jobs. For us, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to serve our teachers and their mental health needs as well. So all of that being said, I'm sharing that with you now because that takes resources. That takes capital resources to work towards solving all of these problems. And so we're going to need your support with that. We have ESSER dollars that'll last us a couple more years that we're starting to put money in that direction to help us with these issues, but that money is only for a couple of years. And so we need to be making plans for how we're going to deal with this in the long run. I also shared with you different measures that we're going to be using throughout the way to tell us if we're on track towards meeting our goals, which include our students' assessments, benchmark assessments and such, our student attendance and discipline data, but also include measurements for adults. You know, adult measurements as far as teachers implementing TBTs, teachers implementing PBIS strategies, implementing the training that they're receiving. So those are all a part of our plan as well. Our plan was just sent to the state today. We are waiting, we will await word from them if there are any further corrections updates that need to be made, and then we'll be able to provide the entire written plan to the public and to you for your information. So, thank you.
Karen, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, do you anticipate having to change any of those percentages of either increase or decrease pending the state testing results?
That's kind of why the reason we put those percentages was we were trying to be conservative as much as looking at the data that we have in front of us now from benchmarks and such that we've been looking at this year, felt like that those were conservative estimates. There should be a process where we could update those, should we need to update those, but we felt like the 2% a year would be a good estimate of where we needed to get started. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kirksby. Appreciate the wonderful report and your time this evening and all the hard work that you've done. She really has been the leader with this process, and she has worked very, very, very hard in getting all this done. There have been some tight timelines, and I believe we have a good product, and just want to say thank you to Ms. Kirksby for her leadership with this initiative. So thank you so much. The next department report that we have this evening is from the technology department. Mr. Griffith is here, and I know that he was with us, I believe, last month as well.
Yeah.
Happy to have him back. As with a number of things here in the district, there are a number of things that are showing their age. And unfortunately, as things show their age, they begin to wear out. And so we have a lot of technology in classrooms at this point in time that is beginning to get very old and is worn out, and it is time to replace that technology. We have, in an attempt to be good stewards of district resources, we had attempted to take care of these issues, dare I say, on the cheap. Because we want to be good stewards. Unfortunately, those efforts have not been as fruitful as we would like them to be. And so the problem is just, it's quite large. And so we have realized that we need to go in a different direction. And so the specific technology that I am talking about, one of the things that is common in schools today is to have smart boards in classrooms. These are interactive boards that allow teachers to display things rather than the old-fashioned, what's the word I'm looking
projector.
For?
Overhead.
Overhead, thank you. Yes, rather than the old-fashioned overhead projector, as we have moved into the 21st century, smart boards became a very popular thing, and schools all over the country have them. I don't know that I've been in a school here recently that didn't. But at any rate, we have them as well, and unfortunately they are getting old. With that in mind, and with the fact that we have so many that are failing, and with our attempt to make some fixes in an extremely economically feasible manner. With those attempts not working, we have realized that we do need to make an investment. It is time. To not make the investment would also would not be being wise stewards of district resources, because these are tools our teachers rely on. And so we have, and continuing to be wise stewards, we have decided to use ESSER dollars, grant funds. So we are using grant funds and we are making an investment. We are purchasing one of these interactive flat panel displays. These are, the company is called BenQ, but these are interactive flat panel displays that we are going to place in every classroom here within the district. We are purchasing 100 of these. That they come at a cost of $2,970 a piece. So we have an overall investment of $297,000. Mr. Griffith is here. He is going to demonstrate the technology for us this evening. We have demonstrated these already at the K-6 building. I think the demonstration is coming to the 712 building later this week, I believe.
Next week.
And I believe the reception in the K-6 building was very positive. Everybody liked them. So I think this is a technology that our teaching staff is really going to enjoy and appreciate. And this kind of takes care of the technology report that I had later on the agenda. So, at any rate, I'm going to turn the floor over to Mr. Griffith, and he is going to demonstrate this board.
So. One minor correction, Mr. Eisler. They're $2,790 a piece, so you're only off about $20,000, which in my mind is a little chunk of change.
It
so
is.
I want to make sure we're exact. There's $279,000 is the investment,
okay,
not $200,000.
Yeah, we're saving money left and right.
Saving money, yes.
So, thank you very much. I'm going to hold this Bob Barker style, so I hope that's okay with everybody. The BenQ boards, the times have changed. No longer are they using projectors for the most part in classrooms, and that is because we have projectors have a lifespan, right? They also have bulbs which have consumable products in them, right? They only last so many hundreds of hours, and then there's a maintenance cycle with that. They also input dust in the side, and that's maintenance and cleaning, and those are things that haven't been done in a while, and as a result, those projectors, they just can't handle it anymore. In addition, because the age of the projectors, the replacement part of the bulb used to be, back when I started as a tech person in schools, about $30, $40. Now with the age of these projectors, they're about $140, $150, $160 a piece. So it's very costly to keep that going. And the better bet is, there's a fine point right here somewhere. The better bet is to, I'm just going to be loud.
You can use mine.
There we go. Oh yeah, that works well. So the better bet is to go with a board like this. And it is a television, but it's not the same television that you have at your house. So, let's see if that helps. Not the same television that you have at your house. The one at your house, you probably can't knock on like that. So this one is military-grade Gorilla Glass. Now, some of our kids might be beyond military grade, so I'm not going to say these are kid-proof 100%, because I don't know all of the kids. But they're rough enough to be put into a classroom. And how the technology works is there's light sensors around there so it can detect when you're writing on the board, right? So it comes with pens and you can actually write on the board with both pens. It actually takes 5 to 10 points of touch. So you can have multiple kids up at the board at one time writing. So it's kind of a nice thing. The same with the smart boards in the classroom now, where the kids can go up to the boards and write. And I don't know if you've ever had kids in the back seat of your car where they can't, they have to be separated with lines. They can't go and draw on their sides of the lines. Well, that works today, but, you know, kids can still be inappropriate and cheat and mark on the other sides of the lines like that. But it allows for kids to come up, choose different colors, write, do math facts, different things. So everything that a smart board can do, this can do better, right? One of the other things that this comes with is anything that they're working on and they have to save, they have the ability to hit save and it'll save right back to their Google Classroom. So since Madison Plains is a Google Classroom school, with the click of a button, it jumps back to the teacher's Google Drive where it's automatically stored and can be passed out to the kids to continue learning, right? So a lot of cool features in here, including something that teachers use all the time, which is a timer. They sent, start timers in classroom to allow kids to work on different things. So you have timers, and those go on constantly, right, in the classroom. So the teacher can then jump from different job to task and different apps and different things, and that timer stays up on the board. So as opposed to how they used it now, it was maybe an egg timer in the classroom, or it was a website that did it. So it has a lot of tips and things that are just built right into the board that are enhancements for today. The other thing that our teachers are really excited about is the ability to plug in their laptop, right? But they don't necessarily have to plug the laptop in. They can just hit start casting, and then it wirelessly broadcasts it up on the screen, so they can then move the objects around, do whatever they need to do. It also works in reverse. They can take what they're working on here and touch the board, and then it also moves it back. So teachers, I married one, I love them, but every year they want to move their rooms around because it's, you know, it gets stuffy staying in the same spot every year. That's why all the boards are on carts. Now in some classrooms we don't have enough space and we're definitely going to mount them on the wall, but this gives the teachers the ability to move things around and do station rotation. So as the teachers divide up into groups and different activities, this board, whatever application they run on it, can be one of those stations. So it serves a lot of different purposes for teachers in the classroom, and the fact that they don't have to have wires connected to it is a huge benefit. All right. So one of the other features that this thing has is the ability to broadcast out in an emergency. Okay, so one of the things as a tech director that I've always struggled with in schools is broadcasting out messages that are very important. You've got areas of your building that, you know, technology can't get to, or it's very expensive to run a wire. These boards have the ability to broadcast out text messages, so time to leave to get on a bus, things like that. If there's an emergency and everybody needs to leave, a tornado drill, we can have text come across the screen. We can have video come across the screen, all of that from a click of a button from any one of the administrative team. So we even have the ability to do live broadcasts built into it. So this board does a lot of things. I hate buying technology that's just a one-trick pony, you know, something that just does one purpose in the classroom, and this does a lot. So it's a great investment. In addition to how long the projectors last, you guys have made these projectors last a long time, but as a result, teachers in the classroom have had to dim the lights. They've had to, they don't have very loud sound, so they've had to go out and buy speakers personally to get things to make it louder and louder. This whole thing right down here is a big sound bar, so it's very loud. It puts enough volume out to make both of these rooms, you know, to drive you out. So the classrooms that are normally this size, it's plenty loud. But the longevity of these boards, especially with the toughness, BenQ suggests about 7 years, but they don't argue, they aren't going to argue with you that it could last longer than that, up to 10 years. So the cost for a $2,700 board gets you from 7 to 10 years. That's a pretty good investment, right? So the boards are mobile, like I said, but they can be mounted on the wall. They have the ability to run different apps and different widgets. They also have the ability for the teacher to log in. So one of the things that is a security issue nowadays, you'll hear in the next coming months that in order for us to get different features and security options, we have to have some more security measures in schools. So the teachers have the ability to log into the board with a secure app, a username and a password. They can do it right from their phone so that their data is protected, because if they can save to their drive, they can open files up from their drive. We don't want just anybody in the classroom doing that. We want the teacher to be able to do that. So when the teacher leaves the classroom, they can hit the log off button. It'll log right out. It has a lot of different options for teachers as well. If they want to start having diagrams, it's not just for, you know, general classrooms. It's music, it's art, it's graphing, and even sports. So we have the ability to diagram and draw things up in every sport up on the board. So The reason they bought 100 of them is we expect everybody to use them, coaches, teachers, staff, administration. So they're really neat solutions. You have the ability as well to record what you do on the board. And from there, you can, use this microphone once you start recording up on the board, and you can, you know, write and do things. You also have the ability to record with a microphone. So if the teacher or coach or whoever is recording for something to save to show off to other players, they can use this as the microphone, record. When they're done, they hit stop, and then it automatically saves to the Google Drive for the teacher or whoever's logged in, and they can then share that out with the student. So again, it does a lot of different features, recording, writing, ton of different options. So all the staff have been surprised, excited to see that this level of technology is coming. So we're really excited to showcase it and get that training done very soon. So I hope within the next 2 or 3 weeks that equipment will start showing up. As we get them assembled, we'll just start moving them into classes and providing training. The other thing that we do want to show is that when the board gets put into the classroom and they are working on that, we're going to disconnect the projector. So it's not drawing any more power. We want the teacher to go ahead and use the board versus using both at the same time. So that for us is a support issue. If we have to support two things, it's going to be a little bit more work. So over the summer, we plan to take the boards down. This is an example of room that's going to keep their projector because I don't think we could afford a 290-inch smart screen up there. But well, maybe Todd could. I don't know. I haven't asked him. But we're going to stick with a projector in this room for now. So, but they're great resources. They're mobile. They can move from classroom to classroom, building to building. You know, might be able to push it down the road. I don't think I'd do it on a windy day. It's kind of like pushing a sailboat. But they do have locking casters down here too. And once it's locked in place, it's not going anywhere. It does look a little wobbly, but they're very secure. So very excited to be able to do professional development and start putting these in classrooms. So do you guys have any questions? Does it get ESPN?
Yeah. It just kind of looks like it'd be top heavy to me.
It is, and especially if you don't have these casters, if you have the casters on. But once you start pushing it around, the casters, they glide very easily. They've got a cart or handles on the side, and obviously we won't have students pushing them, you know, around. So the idea for the teacher to move it from the classroom, it's going to be moved very, you know, closer, you know, around in the classroom, so for a little quick station work. Most teachers are going to say, I like it on a cart because I like that. Some are going to say, I want it on the wall. It's fixed. So it allows for multiple devices to be plugged in too. So that's kind of a nice feature as well. The remote also comes with the ability, turn this around here, to have a built-in, built-in spotlight pointer, so or a laser pointer. So just lots of features that are built right into this. So all the teachers get remotes as well. Pens, you can write on it with your fingers or pens. So it should last a long time. So again, we're very excited. Any questions? Other questions?
If BenQ makes updates to these boards, do they push it to our boards?
So that's a great question. So this is actually a giant Android tablet. And so this version on this cart is Android 8. The ones that we bought are Android 9. And we have the ability to push out updates as they push out updates. But just like your phone, Android's going to get a little slow, a little old. Every phone gets a little slow and old. So one of the reasons as a tech director I recommend this board to other tech directors is it has multiple inputs in the back. So I can take a Chromebook or a laptop and permanently attach it to the back. So that means it's just like another computer or Chromebook in the classroom to be used. You don't necessarily have to use this writing software here. In fact, the writing software is installed on the teacher laptops and the Chromebooks as well. So going forward, future-proof, is that if Android gets really slow, we just automatically have them switch over to the device that we had.
That's great.
So, good question.
Good for stability.
Yep. the deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Griffith, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to present on this evening. We certainly do appreciate it. It is, as you said, exciting technology, and we're very much looking forward to getting it into our classrooms and allowing our teachers to begin using it with our students. So thank you very much. Mr. President, that concludes all of the department reports for this evening.
Thank you. So now we'll move to superintendent committee reports.
Thank you. A few different committees have met since our last meeting. Our policy committee met on Monday, April 4th. There are some policies before the board this evening for your consideration for a first reading. They relate to bus transportation and alternative professional licenses for administrators. That's basically the gist of what most of those are about. We have not determined our next meeting date yet for the policy committee, but we will work to do that. Our facilities and grounds committee, we have a core group of people who are getting together on Monday, May 2nd to begin determining what our course is going to be for moving forward with engaging our community with a facilities discussion. So that group will get together on the evening of Monday, May 2nd, and further updates will be provided after that particular meeting. So looking forward to that. And then our academic advisory committee met, and that meeting focused on the one plan, which Ms. Grigsby reported on this evening. So I don't know that there's a whole lot more to say about that. The next meeting for the DLT is, for the district leadership team, is Monday, April 25th at 3:15 in the district meeting room. And that is all I have for committee reports.
Just to clarify, that facilities and grounds committee, we talked last month that there was going to be one on April 18th, so it was scheduled for yesterday. That's now May 2nd.
Correct. Right?
And from that will come information about when the community could get engaged in the process as far as talking about the future and potential buildings and what our people want.
Right.
I just want to be clear that that's kind of the fill-in for that meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you. So now we'll go to the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. First of all, while it's fresh in your minds, I just want to say that Ms. Grigsby spoke on the investment the district's making in technology and the plan that we'll have in place for technology. But she also spoke about the human capital that we need to invest in with the technology. And it was great that Mr. Griffith mentioned the fact about the professional development, because that's a big piece that a lot of times you get that's missing with new technology. And it's something that he is able to provide through mobile tech, and he does it at a very high level, and so we're fortunate to have him here on the district, as well as the teachers being able to access that remotely as well through video content. So that is a huge piece that comes with the technology that we're providing to the staff, is not only new technology, but the ability to truly use it in a superintendent word, with fidelity, right? That would be a good one.
That's excellent.
Here we go. So, I want to point that out, because a lot of times I do feel like that gets left out. So we're very fortunate. We're in a much better position we are in with technology right now than what we were in. And the thought with the investment in the technology with the ESSER dollars is, like Mr. Griffith said, those can last us 7 to 10 years. We have to spend those funds within the next 2 to 3 years. So that's money that we can spend right now that's going to last us much longer.
Yeah.
The harder decisions are going to be the salary staffing positions that we've used ESSER dollars to purchase. Yeah. When those funds run out, we have to look at the general fund at that time and say, are those positions the board's going to maintain? So, but these are decisions financially that I like making, because it's a short-term dollars with a long-term benefit. So that's been the strategy behind that. So as far as my financial statements go, I wanted to speak a little bit, because I don't have a whole lot for you tonight. I just have my monthly financial statements. So if we look at the spending plan, I'll zoom in for you, because as we get farther in the year, the report gets harder and harder to see. So we ended the month of March with $5.9 million. And we are within 0.2% of our revenue estimates and 0.8% of our expenditure estimates.
So very much in line with where we expected to be, which is always good to see. And then I'm going to attempt to scroll down here. Our revenue is at this same point in time last year, slightly down. Again, that's because we've made the decision to no longer take advances, which is, there's an adjustment period there, but we're still doing fairly well with that. Expenditure-wise, we are maintaining our conservative approach with spending in the district. We've been able to do that over the last several years. We are only 0.2% ahead of where we were this time last year. We have almost managed to flatten out our expenditure curve there, which is a testament to everybody, every department, every building, the board, the superintendent, maintaining that even though we've passed our income tax, that we aren't just looking at expenditures without a lot of forethought. We're still maintaining fiscal responsibility here in the district. So that's great to see. That's something that I'm fairly proud of. So here, if you remember last time, we took a dip. The green line there is our actuals. The black line is our estimates. So you saw in February, we took a big dip. And then I said when we received, because normally we would have been receiving advances then, property tax advances, but we received our full settlement amount all at once. That came in March. You see it shot up there. So, and it shot up above our estimate, you know, where we're at for April. So we should end the year still approximately where we feel like we estimated based on how we're trending, but we're in a fairly good position there, which is good to see. The next thing we'll have will be our income tax, our quarterly settlement come in here in April. I'll be able to report out on that next month, and then we'll have our spring update for our five-year forecast next month and see where we're at based on our original estimates in November. We'll update it for May and see where we're at there. So, okay. Does anybody have any questions regarding the financial statements? Okay. That's my report.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I-3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonegrove?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to the Superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just just a few updates generally, kind of quickly here. With regard to COVID, we currently do not have any cases within the district. We do not have anybody out in quarantine either. So that is wonderful news. We continue to work towards normal operations, and we have sent forms out to parents. We have made the decision that we will resume field trips and regular class activities. So we have sent a form out letting parents know that for those who want to volunteer, either to chaperone field trips or come in and participate in activities within the building, they need to have their background checks done. So that has been sent out. So we are working towards that. With regard, so that really is the COVID update. Again, just continuing to work towards what we would consider normal activity pre-pandemic. I want to just discuss briefly some discussion of some facilities needs, particularly the track and the playground. And we are, as was mentioned earlier, we are going to be convening a meeting to discuss the direction that we want to go and how we will engage our community in a larger conversation about facilities. But there are a couple of items that are kind of pressing forward right now and need to be discussed, at the very least in terms of what we want to do. One is the track out in the stadium, and then the other one is the playground here at the K-6 building. We are working on getting estimates on what it will cost to repair the track. We are finding that it is difficult to get people out here. The contractors are so busy. They are already estimating work that they are going to be doing in 2024. So they're working 2 years out already. We have so far we've been able to have one company come out. They gave us a verbal estimate, and the estimate is to do the repairs that they believe are needed. We're looking at between $1 million and $1.5 million to fix the track. Now, that was a verbal estimate. They would not put anything in writing. They want to do a topographical and geographical survey before they're willing to put anything in writing. But we have that as a verbal from them. We are working on getting some other folks to come out and take a look at it, and just by way of some information as well, the topographical and geographical surveys that have been requested, those are going to run about $30,000, we believe, to get those done. So it's an expensive proposition, there's no doubt. But we will continue to work on that and see what other information we get. Perhaps there might be some other folks out there who might feel that there's a different scope of work that needs to be done, and we will see. But we are working on that, but it is looking like it's going to be an expensive proposition.
Hey, can I ask a question
sure.
on that? So is that to add another lane so that it's a regulation?
That would be the goal. Technically, to have it be regulation, we would need to add two lanes.
Two.
Because it's a six-lane track.
Okay.
There are concerns, and to the best of my knowledge at this point in time, we have not put the wheel on it yet to measure for sure. We're not hosting track meets right now. The track is not in condition to be able to host a meet, but there's concern about whether or not the track is actually 400 meters. So there is some work that needs to be done. There's some concern about the asphalt underneath the rubberized surface as well, which is part of what's going to increase, you know, why it's going to be so expensive. The feeling is from the contractor who was here that asphalt base needs to be fixed, because if we don't fix it, anything we do to the surface above is going to be short-lived in terms of life of the product. So, yeah.
We've just not ever seemed, we've always fallen short on the track end, right? And even for the indoor track folks that they were practicing in that building out there that has no heat sources, right, in the middle of winter. I just think that, I hear you say $1 million and $1.5 million, that's a different conversation, but that seems to be the, and I'm a track mom, so I'm a little, it's near and dear to my heart. I just think that we've shortchanged the athletes in the track programs over the last 10 years on our facility. So when we do the facility grounds, whatever thing we're going to do, I think that I'm sure the athletics is part of that, but I think that we've not given our children the opportunities and our student athletes to participate at the levels that they could participate and to host meets and to have the community be involved in it, right? So again, we put price tags like that to it, it's a tough conversation, but I just feel like it just always seems to be the struggle. Right, so,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mrs. Cooley.
Uh-huh.
The other article or item that I wanted to update you on a little bit is our K-6 playground. We are aware we have had to pull a couple pieces of equipment out of use on the playground due to safety concerns. As I mentioned with the technology, everything here seems to be getting quite old and is showing its wear. And that is, we recognize that there needs to be an investment made. There needs to be an investment made in a lot of things. Because things are starting to fall apart. And we have done our best to be good stewards. But part of being a good steward is knowing when you need to make the investment, and the time is here. So we are looking at, we've had somebody come in to provide a little bit of input, somebody who's knowledgeable. We had a company from Cleveland to come in. We like folks from Cleveland. They have come, somebody who specializes in playgrounds came in and provided some input to us. We are currently exploring funding sources, both through grant funds and through private donations as well as some other avenues, to see what we can do there. So we will look to, or I will look to have further updates for the board in future meetings on that front as well. And then the other thing that I was going to update on was the technology piece. And so I think we've pretty well covered that, and so we can move on.
Thank you. Now we'll move to policy and governance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of, or a few policies before the board tonight. And as I have told the policy committee, and I believe I've shared with the board as well, typically boards of education approve policy. Policy is generally a very broad document that provides a broad scope of, or provides a broad information within which administrators then make decisions on a daily basis about how those policies get implemented within the district. Administrators use what are called administrative guidelines or regulations to be able to do that. And so we have within our policy manual, which is online, we have both board policies and then we have regulations. Generally, because it's good to have flexibility with the regulations or the administrative guidelines, generally boards of education do not approve the regulations themselves. They approve the policy. It's important, and our legal counsel, I've talked with her a number of times about this, she agrees with the approach, and that's what boards do, not just our board, but boards of education in general. That is the proper approach. And so, however, occasionally there comes along a regulation or a policy with a regulation where it is recommended that the board does approve. And so you do have a couple of regulations before you this evening related to transportation. They are the same policy. It just occurs in a couple different places in the policy manual for ease of use. But you do have that before you this evening, in addition to the policy. So again, as I mentioned earlier, these policies and regulations are mostly about transportation and conduct on buses, and alternative administrative licenses for administrators. So that is what is before the board this evening for a first reading.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items K2 and K3.
Second.
Discussion.
And I would point out too, in terms of K3, that is an MOU related to, and I'm sorry, I forgot that in my earlier commentary, I was focused on the policies. The MOU is related to the posting of supplemental dates so that we could post and obtain coaches a little bit earlier than we normally do.
That'll help make us more competitive as far as
yes.
Getting coaches.
Yeah.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
So now we'll move to business.
And thank you, Mr. President. A couple of business items there before the board this evening. The FFA would like to take some students to a student leadership conference in Washington, D.C. in June. So that is before the board. The board has also been asked to approve a new member on the Mount Sterling Library Board, which is part of what boards of education and schools are tasked to do. And then there is, before the board this evening, a list of eligible seniors for commencement and graduation here this spring for the class of 2022. And so that is before the board for your consideration this evening as well.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent board approve personnel items L2 through L4.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Stoneroff?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section M, personnel.
And a number of personnel items before you there this evening. Unfortunately, there is a resignation of a long-term sub, but we are looking, we're asking the board for an approval of a long-term sub. And then there are a number of other positions there, one bus driver, so we're happy about that. transportation supervisor in various supplemental contracts, some of which are for this school year, some of which are for next school year as well.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 through M10.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Abstain.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
So we had supplemental 11 on there?
Oh, yeah, we sure do.
Well,
yep.
I'm glad it was, I'm
yes.
guessing it was on purpose.
Yes.
Mr. President, I make a upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2022 to 2023 school year.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Ms. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now move to donations.
Mr. President, a number of donations there this evening. One donation is a donation that was received for the girls' basketball team. And so that is there. And then there were a number of donations made to the FFA as well.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed.
Second.
Discussion?
Say thank you to all those donors. First of all, for the FFA banquet, right? And then for certainly for the girls' basketball team.
Yeah.
And I believe that the boys will be able to use it too. It's a cool shooting machine that's hopefully going to help all of our basketball players, boys and girls.
They're going to share it.
All right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Don't believe we have any new agenda items. All right. Second, public communication. I don't believe anybody's signed up for that. We do have an executive session. I move that we enter into executive session at 8:02 for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to discuss the appointment of a public employee in Section 4, preparing for and reviewing negotiations with public employees.
Second.
Roll call, please. Oh, excuse me. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Stonegrum?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0 for an executive session.
Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be May 17th at 7 p.m. here in the district meeting room. No further action will be taken after the executive session. Thank you.